This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
On the question of religion, I got open at the age of 7.
And I had a choice between LSD and algebra in high school, so algebra had to wait.
So we're driving a little bit, and he says, you know, that's a lie.
And it's not for everybody, but it works for me.
He said, you know what, you're a flop.
I remember the packing in a vague haze.
You're a flop.
And very quickly, it's got to be a real drag.
And in many ways, I think swimming is my metaphor in life. And you better keep swimming or you drown.
Greetings. This is Hitchhiking Off the Map, which is about journeys.
The trip you took where you came back slightly altered. I'm Elizabeth Fuller.
Slightly altered from earlier versions of Elizabeth Fuller.
Whenever a new system comes out, it usually has a lot of bugs.
No comment. And Conrad Bishop, coming to you from our studio in Sebastopol, California.
And outside last night, once again, the possum was eating our cat food.
Oh, yes. Two stories today. The first takes us out of the realm that most of us experience as reality, and the second dumps us right back in. You know, if there's one thing that we, Bishop and Fuller, are really good at, I think it's throwing a good party.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's always a potluck because people bring wonderful things, and
the most wonderful thing is they come from so many different circles of our life, or else they walk in the door and they don't have anything to prove. So they're also amazingly different. They come out in all their colors.
And that's what we're trying to do here in this weekly potluck.
First story, Judy Dragon.
Judy Dragon's experience is what's known as dissociative identity disorder, multiple personalities. In her case, not a highly dramatic story. Even before her integration, she was functional, held a job.
And I was a mother to 4 children, and I was divorced too. So, and I had just part-time, you know, responsibility of the outer children because it was very difficult to take care of 28 inside and 4 outside. Most multiples are not functional like I am. Most of them end up in mental hospitals or under, psychological care, and they're not functional. I feel very grateful that I could function. It was a journey of mystery. It was a journey of twists and turns in what people would call perhaps fantasy, but it was reality to me. It was expression of birthing. It was painful and it was joyous, and it was how to be a completely different person as one, which meant recreating anything I wanted myself to be.
So if we knew you 10 years ago and followed you through the day, what would we notice different?
Probably not a whole lot unless I felt safe with you. And then I may let some of my kids out. Like they sometimes would have arguments with my outer children. Like my son knew that I had multiple personalities, so he would take my stuffed animals, which were like, I don't know if you can relate to how children think of stuffed animals, but they think that they're real. And my kids inside thought that they were real. So if my son took my stuffed animal and threw it, I'd flip out. I'd start crying. I'd want to go in the corner and say, you're hurting my animal. You know, and they'd just like look at me like, mom's flipping out.
Sometimes here, it was hard to distinguish between Judy's talking about her outer kids, her real children, and her inner kids, her alter egos.
Oh, yeah. And only one of my kids was smart enough, she would sometimes go, who am I talking to? And the alters then also had they liked some of my kids and they didn't like some of my kids. So, you know, it was like dealing with a huge committee inside and trying to take votes, you know, on how to live my life. Like I'd be driving to a dance and all of a sudden 10 kids would say, we don't want to go, we want to go home. And I go, well, I want to go. And all of a sudden, you vote right now. There's 10 of us. And, you know, if the vote was majority, we went home. There wasn't anything I could do because what would happen if I didn't is they would do a body takeover. And what that meant that they had actually full force take over the energy of my body. And one time, one of them was so angry at me for not listening to her that she moved me into another room and threw me against the wall. And I banged against the wall and fell down. And she goes, now you'll listen to me.
So this might be a story of how she got that way, but that wasn't the story she wanted to tell. And I was wanting to get a very concrete narrative of her trip, which is like getting a firm foothold on the surface of water.
I had to really break a denial that I was a multiple. It's kind of like most people hear of the kind of multiples that are like Sybil, who would end up in a different town or had different clothes on. That's not the kind of multiplicity that I have. It's on a gradient scale. I would have, like, Sybil would be like a 10 on the scale. I was more like between a 7 and 8. I had periods where my alters, I could feel them actually move up in my eyes and kind of take over my body. It was an energy shift, and I could feel my host personality be behind, as if somewhere in a dimensional area in my body, and would be viewing what would happen. Multiples actually can be registered on EEGs because they have different brain wavelengths. They also have the ability to have, in different parts, different diseases or different... Like, I had a friend who had wore 5 pairs of glasses because each of her alters had different eye corrections. I had a friend who, back in the 40s or 50s, had the rabbit test for pregnancy, and she went into having a, you know, a backstreet abortion. And when the guy was in the middle of the abortion, he said, "You're not pregnant." You know, I mean, one of her alters was pregnant, but the body wasn't. So, you know, it has... The whole awareness of multiplicity, or what we call dissociative identity disorder now, has the most incredible awareness for quantum healing. Because if one person's body can do this with all these personalities, what is the possibility for humankind in accessing that kind of energy?
Some people take very clear, vivid snapshots of their trips. Judy's are kind of blurry, but with Underworld Journeys, the light is often dim.
My goal was not integration. And like I said, I thought that was a death. And I thought if I could, you know, live in the world and being able to negotiate within my inner world, that I would be fine. And that's how a lot of multiples live. They don't want to
integrate. When the memories got worse, that it was, I was way more fractionated than I thought. So I started calling myself on my answering machine, people would call and I say, "Hi, this is Judy and Associates," which sounded very professional. And my friends who knew about me thought it was a crack up. And it was just a process at one point where I went to a workshop and all these people,
I guess,
that were just the like
beginning
me,
of the integration
the
started
symptoms, and they said they were
in
multiple.
May of 94. And I had an experience where when I was in therapy of all of a sudden this voice just resounded out of me. And it said, "You don't know how precious all of you are. And you have to love every part of yourself." And it... All of a sudden, my life felt like a fast rewind on a VCR, like speeding pictures, and it was like viewing lifetime after lifetime of my past lives, and I didn't know how to grok the situation. In fact, I went on overload, and I couldn't get out of the therapy for an hour after.
Like something's happening inside, and they're not telling me what's going on, and I kept thinking, "Oh my God, I wonder if I'm integrating or..." No, that's a death word. That means we're dying or something. But my guides, my inner guidance, my spiritual guidance, who I had contact with for years, were telling me that there was a reorganization occurring, but they wouldn't say the word integration because they knew I'd flip out. And about 2 weeks later, I noticed one of my alters had come out and said that I should check in with them. That they were going to talk about how they wanted to deal with the shifting that was going on inside of them, and that they were going to cough, and that was my warning that I should listen inside. And I was actually at a party that night and came home with my outer kids. I have 4 outer kids, and when I came home, I coughed, but I didn't pay attention to myself and listen. And a few days later, I realized it was very quiet inside. And I called to a couple of them, and nobody answered inside. And I thought, something weird is going on. And so there, when the integration happened, it was actually February 9th where I went in, and I heard silence. And it was like, oh, my God, I didn't check in to listen. oh my God, something happened. And when I had therapy, which I have on Fridays, I went in and all of a sudden I heard, we are you. That was the last words I heard from him. And I was hysterical crying. I could not stop crying for several hours. I mean, it would be like someone saying, your house burnt down and all your children died. And there was no closure. There was no nothing but those last words. You know, we are you.
When I was talking to Judy, I was thinking, well, it's fairly easy to accept very strange inner experiences from people who seem really exotic, African villagers, medieval Christian mystics. Or if it's clear, okay, well, she was mentally ill, isn't that interesting? But think about this. We have a story in the rehabilitation genre. But how do you feel if this ordinary-looking person who drives a car and holds down a job, if her inner experience, as she describes it, is still worlds away from our own?
And some people go, their skeptic comes out. And I just look at them, and I'm actually not affected by it. Because you know what? I know what my truth is. I know what I've lived through. It's kind of like no one can take away your history once you really know what it is. In one of my near-death experiences, I was told by the beings of light that I had to go back. I didn't have a choice about it. I was only 5 years old when that happened. I had no choice. I had to go back, and I had to be here for the transformation of the planet. Now, you have a five-year-old figure out what that means.
I asked her, okay, you've gone through this process, and for most of us, therapy means getting back to normal. Do you plan to get normal anytime soon?
You know, I have thought of that years ago, and it's like, what is normal? You know, someone said they liked my ad once because I sounded normal, and I cracked up. I thought it was the funniest thing. It was like the most, it was almost like an insult. What is normal? Oh my God, I hope I'm not normal. I believe that God sent me here for consciousness, and this is the journey that I contracted to do. You know, when times were really bad, and sometimes I was real suicidal at times, and I would just hear, you don't want to do this again. Right, right, yeah, heal, heal. That's what it's about. Heal and help others and finish your contract this lifetime. Then take a million-year vacation on some other galaxy. That's what I kept thinking. I want to swim like a dolphin.
I asked her, do you still feel that you're in an alien place?
Yeah, I do. I feel like the stranger on a strange planet most of the time. I do have a hard time being here. It's difficult for me. And yet, I can hold it for myself too, because I really love my kids. And I know that God has more gifts for me, because my life has been really, really difficult. And I look for the light, you know, in it all the time, and I give myself lots of joy. Like, I'm a dancer, so I go out and I dance a lot, I dance hard, and that brings me a lot of joy. But I hope this trip is over fast, you know, I want to go home. You know, I want to be with God, because I know what it's like, you know, having the near-death experiences. You know, it's like, it's wonderful on the other side. I mean, I remember. And it's also know that when my time comes, I've already been told that I will just choose to leave my body. And we used to be able to do that on this planet during Atlantean time, which I remember I lived during that time. That time was the downfall of our human history. This is now Kali Yuga. We're into a next level, and it'll be different. We're the golden age.
In Santa Rosa, California, we were talking to Judy Dragon, who is a clinical hypnotherapist and co-editor of the book Multiple Journeys to One, Spiritual Stories of Integrating from Dissociative Identity Disorder. Her website is www.dnaactivation.com.
You know, in doing this interview, I was remembering some philosophic essay I'd read about reality as a social construct, like an agreement between ourselves that this is a rock and this is real and that is a fantasy and that is not real, and our extreme distrust and ridicule and ostracism of anyone who reports seeing other wavelengths.
We'd like to hear your stories about trips, maybe the story that's really hard to believe. send us an email through our website at www.independenteye.org.
We'll be doing a show about Mount Shasta. Anybody with experiences on Mount Shasta or mountains? I think everybody has a huge need for transcendental experience in some way, shape, or form. But our next story is about taking that transcendental journey, carrying a lot of old baggage.
Our characters are Larry, Moe, and Curly, but this is not the Three Stooges.
This is not the Three Stooges. The Three Stooges are copyrighted spirits. Can you imagine a culture copywriting the concept of the Three Stooges? You know, I liked the Three Stooges when I was a kid. I did not think it was funny at all. I thought it was dead serious. I liked the violence.
All right.
Oh, confession. All right.
This is Buddies.
We're almost there. I can see the top. Is that the top?
We're going to make it. We're really going to make it.
What a climb. Achievement. Oh, what an achievement.
That's what friendship can do. Takes us right to the peak.
All for one, one for all. Oh, boy, look at that sky.
The peak.
Glaciers. I'm having trouble breathing.
Then shut up.
Guys, what a story. What an achievement. This is, it's transformational. It's, anything is possible with friends.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm coming back down this mountain a different man.
Same here.
Yeah, count me in.
Hey, watch out. It's tricky here.
Grab hold.
Wait! Oh, no.
Oh, God.
You okay? Mo?
My leg!
Oh, okay. We're coming down.
We'll get you, buddy. No sweat.
He's kind of stuck in there.
Come, let me help my buddy.
My leg!
We're coming down. We're coming down. Okay,
you're fine.
We're coming. Here we go. Okay, we're here, buddy. Okay, we're going to pull now.
My leg!
Here we go.
My leg!
Oh, your leg.
I'm sorry.
Hey, no sweat. We almost made it.
We'll make it yet. Get you out of here and look at that peak. Transformational. We get up there, we'll be different men.
Hey, buddy, don't worry.
This is 10 miles down.
We'll get you out.
I think my leg's broke.
That is a problem.
I really screwed up.
Mo? Yes, you did. But that's what friends are for. We've been through a lot together, a lot of parties, a lot of beer.
We've climbed mountains together. Well, we almost climbed one, till you fell.
I mean, hell, we're war buddies.
We supported the war together.
We watched it on television. We supported our boys. Remember the special effects, like boom?
We supported the economy. We bought stuff. Pizza.
Mo, we're like buddies.
More than buddies.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, okay, come on, buddy. We'll get you out of here, okay? We'll get you down to camp. We'll get your leg fixed. It'll be a great story to tell.
Larry. Over there.
Clouds.
That's a blizzard coming.
We better get going.
Not without me.
Mo, my God, of course not. Here, we'll carry you, okay?
All right. Arms over the shoulders. Ready?
You're pretty heavy, Mo. Can you, like, support yourself a little?
My other ankle hurts.
Well, could you just kind of, like, bear a little pain?
There's a blizzard coming, Mo. We got a long way to go.
Let's try it again. Heave. Well, we made a little headway.
We could roll him.
Yeah. Roll him. Yeah.
Kind of sideways and let gravity do it.
Worth a try.
It's rocky.
Kind of stretch out, Mo.
He's tense.
You're too tense, Mo. You'll bruise.
It's only 10 miles.
Let's give it a try, buddy.
It hurts.
Concentrate on your leg. Does your leg hurt?
Yes.
Focus on that pain, and you won't feel anything else.
He doesn't roll very good.
You're too fat, buddy. It's all that beer and pizza.
We gotta do something, Larry. Those clouds are moving in. That's a blizzard there.
Just don't leave me.
Who said anything about leaving you? We never said anything about leaving you. That was your idea.
We never said nothing about leaving you. We're trying to get you up. We'll still make it. We'll make it to the top, like what Larry says, like transformational.
We'll be different men.
So come on, get up.
I can't.
That's true, he can't.
Mo, you know, a lot of this is attitude.
What do you mean?
They've done studies.
Scientific studies. About what?
Well, positive self-image. Like, little kids, if you beat them and call them little bastards, it makes them feel bad. So then they become criminals. Whereas, if you give them Pop-Tarts, then they've got a positive self-image and the little bastards won't bother you.
Maybe you should try it, Mo.
Like, think of your positive attributes. Don't think of yourself as a pathetic wuss with a broken leg.
Think of what?
Think of laying here freezing to death and move your fat ass! Come on! Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. That was a figure of speech.
Wind coming up. Starting to snow.
Is that sleet?
Guys, I don't think we're gonna get to the top. What an experience.
Friends, teammates, buddies.
That is sleet.
Don't leave me.
Mo, you keep bringing that up. But I'm telling you, that's not an option. Whatever you say, no way.
Hey, guys, I know, but where's my brains? We got the emergency pack. We got the emergency pop tent, the emergency flares, the emergency walkie-talkie.
Wow, hey, not to worry, guys. We'll have the tent up.
Sleeping bags, down bags.
We'll have hot soup. We'll snuggle up like bunnies. And tomorrow morning, we'll call the helicopter in.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Who's got the pack?
Mo.
Mo, where's the pack? Where's the emergency pack?
Well, I fell down.
Yeah?
It must have fell out of the pack. My parka, too. I don't have my parka. I must have fell out of my parka.
How can you fall out of your parka? Mo, where's the emergency pack?
Maybe off the cliff.
What cliff?
That cliff.
Oh.
I'm cold.
Of course you're cold. You don't have your parka. You'll freeze without a parka.
Here, take mine.
Thanks, Curly. That's great.
Hey, buddy. What are friends for? Now, I'm cold.
Take mine.
Thanks, Larry. That's great.
It's cold.
You need a parka.
Give me that parka.
I'll freeze.
Guys, I think we got a problem.
Don't leave me.
Mo, you keep bringing that up.
It wasn't our idea.
Look, we'll go for help. We won't leave you. We'll just go.
Yeah, because, Mo, look, if we stay, we all three of us freeze to death. If we go for help, there's a chance.
But how about one of you go for help and the other stay?
He's got a point. Because here, he's going to be lonely, scared. He's going to think he's abandoned.
Mo, look, if one of us goes, then how do we know that whichever way it is, that guy is not just going to leave? I mean, we're buddies, we're blood brothers almost, huh? But that's a long way down, and a lot of strange things go around in your head, like survival of the fittest. Maybe he just doesn't come back.
Because that would definitely make him the fittest.
That's the foundation of society. Get rid of that, we all fall out of our parkas.
Whoever survives is the fittest.
It's really coming down. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I thought we were buddies. I thought, hey, no matter what happens, it's like trust, and once you feel like you can't trust that trust, this buddy, lifelong buddy, you thought you could trust, and what does he do? He breaks his leg, drops his pack over the cliff, accuses you wanting to leave him, and he falls out of his parka. Mo, does that sound like a buddy? Sorry is not good enough. It is a matter of responsibility.
Give your neighbor a hand up, not a hand out.
We tried to give you a hand up, Mo, but you wanted more than that.
You wanted my parka.
Fair weather friends, Mo, but when the chips are down, what do we get? Accusations?
Belly aching.
Sleet. My God, it's coming down. But listen, buddy, you're still our buddy.
All is forgiven.
We don't bear grudges. We're going for help. Help our buddy. Don't worry, partner. We'll always remember you. I wish I had something to remember him by.
Me too.
Because we had great times, buddy, precious memories.
How about his boots?
He can't take his boots. He needs his boots. Can't go and bring back help and he's frozen stiff. Mo, can you feel your feet? Can't feel your feet? Your feet are frozen? Take his boots.
Sorry, forgot about the leg. I'll keep him just like new.
Mo, your fur hat. I want to remember you just like that. Give me the hat. My buddy. Keep up your hopes, buddy. Chin up. All for one, one for all, that stuff.
We'll tell him how brave you were, Mo. We'll make something up.
And look, hey, we're going, but we're coming back. We're not leaving you, buddy, no matter what.
If not now, then next year.
Because I still want to get to the top.
Thanks for the boots.
And the hat. It's a beautiful view. You got a great view here, Mo.
If you could see it.
Mo, the thing is, keep up your hope. You can make it. It's a free country. There's opportunity here. You're gonna be better off without us around here trying to prop you up and direct your life, treat you like a cripple. You might get up. You might even get to the top, even before we do. And I know what you want to say. If you could open your mouth, you'd say, "Thank you, Larry." Just keep up your hope.
So long, buddy. You know what, Larry?
What's that, Curly?
Well, you know, they say that adventures, trips, you never come back the same. You go on the journey, you look death in the face, and you come back a different man. You think that's true? Because we never got to the top, but we went on the journey. You think we'll be different now?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, yeah. More compassionate, friendship, responsibility. Nice boots, fur hat.
Happy ending.
That was Buddies, with Errol Strider, Ross Turner, and Dave Barry. Errol is an actor-writer, and his company is called Infotainment. estrider@juno.com for information. And watch for Ross on the stand-up comedy circuit.
And that's our trips for this week. This is Hitchhiking Off the Map, a production of The Independent Eye. To listen to past shows, to contribute stories, or to buy CDs of the shows right on the web, visit our website at www.independenteye.org.
Hitchhiking is supported by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts and by the Hitchhikers Guild, which you can join online. This is Elizabeth Fuller
and Conrad Bishop. Next show, a Labor Day special, even if it's way after Labor Day when you hear it. Two stories about work. And we'll end with a story that Judy told about a near-death experience.
My first one I remember was when I was 2 years old. I remember all these beings of light circling me. Two of them stepped out and said, "We're coming to be with you soon to help you." This was 1954, so they would have had to have been at least 3 years younger than me. I've actually found one of them. I found her last year, and she remembered too. The other person I believe is a man, and found that he won't be in for 2 years. He will be my mate. I know his name, I know what he looks like, and I'm looking forward to meeting him.